there's all this anxiety, and sometimes with anxiety, you can't even put your finger on why am I feeling anxious. And one of the things that I'm wanting to do is bring this out. You're not the only one. You're not the only one feeling this, and God cares about what you're feeling.
The clip you just heard was from the first part of an interview we did at the International Christian Retail Show in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and a few months ago, I had the privilege of traveling to Atlanta with my co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker. Over the 3 days we were there, we interviewed several amazing authors and speakers on a variety of topics. The show floor was loud, and you may hear some background noise, but the content is strong, and I'm excited to share these great interviews with you over the next few months. So here now is the beginning of our interview from the show floor of the World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, we're at ICRS right now. I'm Meg Meeker here with Ryan Dobson, and we have as a special guest Sue Detweiler. I'm very excited to talk to Mom to Mom. Sue is an author, a speaker, and she is a blogger at ChristianMomTalk.com. And she has a brand new book out, 9 Traits of a Life-Giving Mom, Replacing My Worst with God's Best. I love the title, love the cover. Welcome, Sue.
I'm so glad to be here.
It's funny, you're talking to two authors, so when someone says, I love the cover, you know we've gone through some hardships with covers in the past.
And you know that there are a lot of covers we don't like.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I just love the idea, Sue, about how we as Christian moms recognize the worst in us and then say, okay, but I want to get rid of that and I want God to put in his best. Talk to us a little bit about that and how you do that. How do you replace something or allow God to replace something inside of you?
Well, you know, part of the life-giving theme of this book, being a life giver, is the fact that he's the life giver.
Yeah.
And one of the key scriptures that's like a life verse for me is that I can't do anything apart from him. And part of our realization as moms and part of the replacement is realizing we can't do it without him.
Mm-hmm.
And we need him to help us every step of the way.
Yeah.
So the life-giving, which is interesting because when I first read the title, I meant it that you were giving life to your kids. But you're talking about God giving life to moms.
I am. And there's a play on words because, you know, a mom can speak life or death into her children.
She can.
Yeah.
You know, you can encourage kids, but I mean, with a word, I grew up with a kid and his mom would say the most horrible things. And I don't think she meant it.
Right.
You know, I was not a large child growing up and she would go, Ryan, you're so scrawny. And I got a complex as like a 6, 7, 8 year old. Because my friend's mom called me scrawny all the time. Her son was a little bit bigger than me, but whatever. It wasn't a big deal.
It hurts.
She had no idea what it was doing to the two of us. But you can do the opposite. And you can build kids up and give them life. And you can see the kids whose moms are life givers. They act differently. They're a different kid.
Yes. And that part of it, I think the replacing my worst, because we have those worst moments. And every mom I know wants to be the best mom in the world for her child, but often she feels like the worst. So one of the things that I talk about is that negativity.
Sure.
You know, replacing my negativity with God's kindness.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're not even kind to our children.
We're not kind to ourselves either.
Yeah.
And
that's
I think a lot
true.
Of our own misery just gets dumped on our kids.
Yeah.
And I think that particularly in this day and age, it's different than it was 20 years ago. I think that a lot of moms now just feel they never get anything right. They're constantly looking at their faults. They're never doing enough because we're beyond being the superwoman now where you bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan. Now you have to be perfect at everything and go to the gym four times a week for 30 minutes a day. You know, and so they never let themselves off the hook. So you're writing here to regular moms who are struggling with regular life, probably feeling very, very imperfect.
Yes.
You have six kids of your own. Wow. I know. She certainly doesn't.
I was just going to ask how my wife should deal with two kids. Now I'm feeling a bit.
Well, this is the gal to talk to. This, yeah. I think maybe she needs to read
listen,
this book.
We came out here on this trip to interview authors like yourself. And the day I left, that night, my daughter Lucy's 2.5. She got 102.8 fever. Laura was up all night with her. I have a 7.5-year-old little boy. And I know that by mid-morning, before Lucy goes down for the nap, the frustration is right there. Because we're all human beings, and Laura's had no sleep, and I'm gone, I can't help, and she's stuck there with two kids, and Lincoln's stir-crazy because he's having to stick around Mommy and Lou's a mess because she's got 102 fever. In those times when you're just stretched so thin, are there little reminders or key things that can take the frustration, or at least keep you mindful of keeping the frustration out of your voice?
I do believe there are different strategies that mm-hmm. you can take. And one of the strategies that I did, because undoubtedly your wife will have to discipline.
Sure.
In the midst of this worst situation
yep.
where she's feeling pulled. And I remember one of the struggles I had was with anger. You know, when my yeah. child would stomp their feet and resist, then you'd feel that anger rise up. So God gave me a strategy to, you know, allow them to go where we're going to discipline. But then to pray out loud the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And it was a simple strategy.
You mean before you disciplined them?
I did. I just out loud began to say, God, I believe you that I'm a mom and I can walk in love, joy, peace, patience.
And your kids would hear you say this.
They would hear me say it.
Nice.
I taught them that. But also I would see my frustration level because I was speaking the word. And
sure.
I was claiming the word, and I was allowing the word to transform me. That's one of the ways that you replace that worst. But it's not like a little pattern that you set up, do this, do
it's
that.
It's not a recipe.
It's not a
and
recipe.
It can't be wrote.
It's a relationship.
It has to be real. But
that's
I think
right.
that one of the first things that's so important, Sue, and correct me if I'm wrong, is for you to recognize, oh, I have this anger building up.
Yeah.
Things are out of control. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be this way. Okay, God. But if we just ignore that, then we really shut God out, don't we?
We do. And it's being vulnerable enough with ourselves, being mm-hmm. honest enough. And also, I think the community aspect, bringing things in the light. One of the images that God gave me when I was writing this book is he reminded me of when my daughter, who is going into high school, was trying out for the soccer team. And she came to me one night. She's like, Mom, I'm not going to make the team. And she's in tears, you know, just crying. She had to run the mile in a certain amount of time. I'm like, honey, what do you want me to do? And she said, I want you to come to practice. So I show up in practice. And sure enough, she comes around her last lap, and she's slowing down. I mean, and I'm in pain.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Of course. I'm like, what
because
am I going to do?
Because you know how bad she wants this. She's already been crying.
I know.
Yeah.
And so I had a split second, but I dropped my purse. I sprinted across the football field, mm-hmm. and I put my hand on her back, and I said, honey, you can do it. And then I ran with her across the finish line, and she made the team, and everybody cheered.
Awesome.
I mean, it was one of those moments, and she's now 24, but I had that picture
you,
when I was writing this
book. You just redefined soccer, Mom, you know.
Oh, I know. It's crazy,
yeah,
isn't
yeah.
it?
Nice.
I know. I it was a crazy moment. But you know what? Moms need that. We need to do that with each other. Because too many times, moms mm-hmm. are critical of each other.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you share something that you're struggling with, and they just kind of answer it with their perfect, you know, solution. But really, I really believe that we need to come alongside other moms. And most of all, we need to hear and feel God's hand on our back saying, you can do it.
I love that about other moms. I just saw a study recently of women, and they said the majority of women aren't dressing to impress the men they're with. They're dressing so they think they're not going to get made fun of or have snide remarks made by the women that are with them in the group. That they're really doing it for women.
Women are very competitive, and mothers are very competitive. Mm. And we have this litany of questions and criticisms and critiques that we go through in our minds when we first meet another mother. What inspired you to write the book?
Well, I felt a call for a long time to write a book. But I think the struggle that I felt as a first-time mom,
mm-hmm.
and I was in this life-changing, traumatic experience that hopefully most moms don't experience. My daughter was 5 weeks old and our house was set on fire.
Oh.
And so I was in the flames and I wasn't going to make it out. So, you know, I dropped my knees and I'm praying that prayer that everybody prays, help. You know, by God's grace, my husband got home in time. We got out of the fire. Oh. But it was horrific. And then, think about it, 5-week-old baby, then she develops colic. So she begins to scream nonstop, 3 to 4 hours. And then, of course, my husband and I start fighting. And we're the pastors. So who do we go to?
Sleep loss. Well, you just talked about the fire. We were in the Waldo Canyon fire. My house was in danger. We had to be evacuated. And Lucy was 6 months old.
Oh, my goodness.
And the guilt you feel for how crazy you get when you lose that much sleep, whether it's the fire or the colic or whatever it is. I remember I was writing a book with a friend and, you know, it was when Laura was having morning sickness, but it wasn't morning. It was all day. It was 24 hours a day. It was every day. It was all 9 months. And I'm working with a guy and he goes, man, dude, I mean, it's just a little morning sickness. What's going on? And I thought, oh, you know what I realized? Mm-hmm. You don't have any idea what I'm going through.
That's right.
No. You've never experienced what it is I'm going through. And it gave me a new perspective. And I like it that you're encouraging moms to give each other grace.
Yes.
To go through their own struggles, to encourage them in their own, not to say, oh, come on, suck it up, pull yourself by your bootstraps, read a book, but just saying, I understand, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. You know, and as a pastor's family, mm-hmm. you know, my children grew up and my 4 girls are gorgeous, you know, so they were the picture perfect, you know, kids that you can look on the outside. But one of the things I wanted to do in this book is to unveil my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because your wife, for example, when she's stressed, you can get cyclical in your thought patterns and all of that. That can become your worst. And when you bring things
negative
to
thinking.
The light, yeah. negative thinking.
The negative tape over and over and
over. Over and mm-hmm. over. And mm-hmm. to replace that with God's word. And
yeah.
one of the things I do
That's
in the...
Key. That's key.
It is.
Really, we should expand on that because
yes.
you can get sucked up in that. I was talking to my wife yesterday. My little girl was sick and she goes, Lincoln's been watching screen all day. And I said, I know, baby. It's okay. It's not every day. It's just today, and maybe it'll be tomorrow. And if Lucy's still sick, it'll be the next day. But Lincoln's 7 and a half. He's going to be all
right.
He's
going to be
okay. Yeah, but she feels guilty. Well, he's not getting, no one's spending time with him. He's not getting to play. I'm not getting to pay attention to him. And those can become cyclical. And I just have to say, it's okay.
And I think that mother's expectations on ourselves and her expectations on what she should do that day as a mom are way out of whack.
They're certainly a lot higher than what I'm expecting
much
her to do.
Higher,
when
much higher.
When you've lost
higher.
All night of sleep yeah. and your husband's not home and your kid is still sick, hey, however you can get through the day is okay with me.
Exactly.
But we've got to be able to do that with ourselves. And I like that you're teaching yeah. moms to say it's okay to break that cycle and say I'm all right today.
Yeah. And one half of the book is a study guide. And I did that on purpose. And in the study guide, I reveal... use stories mm-hmm. of moms or people going through it. But part of it is there's a process mm-hmm. of replacement, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a process of admitting it, but also of renewing your mind mm-hmm. with God's word and moving from your worst to God's best.
Let's talk about those traits. You write right up front in chapter 2 about the trait, replacing my anger with God's love. And you alluded to that earlier. But can you walk us through a little bit more about, so you're upset. Do you think mothers struggle with a lot of anger?
I believe that if you're a mom of a toddler or a teenager, you're going to experience
I just forgot
anger.
About that. Yeah. I got a toddler right now. She's going to be a teenager.
Oh, just
so
yeah.
Lincoln.
Yeah, at the same
I think
time.
It's tough now.
Yeah, I know.
This is preparation. Mm-hmm. This is what God does. He gives you preparation with a toddler,
yeah.
get a little reprieve, and then you go into puberty.
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah.
A little hormonal imbalance.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, their hormonal imbalance and your hormonal imbalance mm-hmm. if you're a mom.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're angry with your children. You're angry with life. You're angry with yourself because you're not handling your kids well. So you've got all of this anger. What do you do?
One of the things I think a mom needs to do is to go back to the place where did she start to walk in the flesh? Because if you think about the 9 traits of the Holy Spirit is the basis of these 9 traits, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so the anger is something that often there's a root. Something has happened.
Sure.
You know, so go back to the place where you started trying to live independently or trying to get it done by yourself and get connected with your life-giving source.
Yeah. Okay. That's an important one, too, looking for that root. I had a friend who was raised by her grandmother, and when her grandma passed away, it was just like losing her mom. It was so traumatic, and she realized a few years in that around the time of the anniversary of her grandma's passing, she would get angry and didn't understand it, and then all of a sudden it was, oh, I'm still not over this. And there was a lot of work to be done to get over that part, to say it's okay to be sad. It's better to be sad than to be angry, too.
Right.
Because you can understand that. That gives you compassion. But when you just, you know, she would say, I just feel like I'm about to snap at all times. And sometimes it takes a lot of work to get through those points.
And sometimes it's simple. Yep. You know, sometimes it's a root that we need to forgive. And sometimes we need sleep. Mm-hmm. We need a warm bath.
Yeah.
We
a
need
night
to
out.
Be sleep. Good to ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need to be kind to ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves. You know, so sometimes it's that simplicity of believing, I can do this with God's help.
I can do this. You go right from anger into sadness, replacing my sadness with God's joy. And I'm intrigued by the juxtaposition. Personally, I like them because I think that, you know, when mothers are stressed and tired,
sure,
all your intense emotions bubble up to the surface, and it's our kids and husbands that experience them first. So, and I do think a lot of moms struggle with a lot of sadness. So is replacing sadness with God's joy the same kind of a thing? I mean, do you have to recognize where did my sadness begin or what am I sad about?
I do believe that. And there's different sources.
Can I ask I'm sorry to interrupt, but...
That's okay.
Because I'm not a mom. But you include it in your book because obviously you feel a lot of moms deal with sadness. And
I do.
Dr. Meg, you just said that. Why? Where does that come from? Where is that... If a lot of moms are dealing with sadness, is it just... It's not innate. Where does that come from?
Well, you know, I was just talking with a dad.
Yeah.
Who lost a baby about 3 weeks ago. And his wife now... is experience extreme sadness.
Yep.
And Dr. Meg, I'm sure you could speak to the hormonal shift, you know, that there are hormonal reasons why she's sad. And so it can be something, you know, the loss of a child, it can be a loss of a job, it can be a loss of your identity, you know, your home.
And men just handle it differently.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that women and mothers in particular, particularly if you're an at-home mom full-time, there's a lot of sadness you can feel because you live looking at other women thinking, gee whiz, her life is so much better. And gee whiz, look at what a glamorous life she has. It's sort of looking at Facebook and going, ooh, ah, everybody has a better life than I do. And I think, you know, a lot of the sadness isn't necessarily deep sadness, but gee whiz, could I be doing something else? And also, there are a lot of days you just feel, ugh. You never get out of your sweatpants. You're walking around with spaghetti stains all over you. You know, you're lucky if you've brushed your teeth. And there's that sense of, where did I go? You know, where did I go? And you will come back, and it will come back. But sometimes that sadness is really just kind of general. But I do think that many of those times we're robbed of the great blessing of God's joy.
Mm. Yeah.
And infusing that, you know, in us in those days. And I think a lot of it can just come from fatigue. I bet you if you called Laura today and said, honey, are you sad today? she'd start crying.
Yeah.
And she probably wouldn't know why. She's exhausted.
I wouldn't know why. She's exhausted.
She's exhausted.
Totally.
But life as a mom with toddlers is all about exhaustion. And I will tell moms, and I'm sort of joking, but not, if you have a two-year-old in your house and your child's alive when you put him at the end of the day, you've won.
Oh, yeah.
When you put him to bed at the end of the
day. I saw a study recently that said in the first 2 years of a child's life, his parents on average lose 6 months of sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's 25% of your sleep is gone. Now... with a colicky child? Come on. In those first 3, 4, 5, for me, 7 months?
Yes.
I don't know if I was sleeping 2, 3 nights a week. Maybe.
The wonderful thing about joy, you know, replacing it, is that joy is different than happiness. Happiness is often that circumstance, but joy is that deeper place, you know, of even that satisfaction of accepting who you are.
Right.
in that time, in that season?
Anxiety. And then you go into writing about, so you go from anger to sadness to anxiety. So you're really just hitting us hard, aren't you? Replacing my anxiety with God's peace.
Many women are anxious, and it may not have to do with their role as a mom. You know, many moms today are also juggling work. You know, So there they are. They're working at home. They've got a deadline. Or their husbands have lost their jobs, and so then they're worried about money.
Man, you're really hitting people
they're
where they're at
anxious.
Today.
Anxious. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's all this anxiety, and sometimes with anxiety, you can't even put your finger on why am I feeling anxious. And one of the things that I'm wanting to do is bring this out. You're not the only one. You're not the only one feeling this, and God cares about what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm. If a mom is sitting at home and listening to this program today thinking, boy, I really resonate with that. I'm very nervous. I'm very anxious. I'm worried all the time. What would you say to her? What does she need to do over the next week?
One simple thing that can help with anxiety, as with each of these, is what's a scripture that you can really look at? And I know that sounds trite, it sounds simplistic, but there's something about a phrase, even from scripture, that if you can look at that, you can speak it, you can meditate on it, and it can be so simple. And the reason I say the word is that I became desperate as a mom to get the word inside of me. So desperate sometimes that, you know, I'd be blow drying my hair, flip my hair over and have the Bible down to just get a little bit of word in me. And I don't think we talk about that as enough to moms.
When you say you were desperate to get the word in you, what do you mean? Were you feeling desperate, or were you just saying, joy, boy, I haven't done a Bible study in a couple of years. No.
I'm not speaking as a religious person that I need to check something off. I was desperate that I knew if I didn't get fed in the morning and that I would not have the emotional strength to do a good job raising my kids. And yet I had less time. So I remember one moment that Angela comes out and I'm reading my Bible, and of course she wants breakfast right then.
Yeah.
And you know, and so she's kind of demanding it. And I just, you know, she was my second. I said, okay, well, mom's got to eat her breakfast first. And she starts looking around for the food. And then she finally said, Mom, do you eat the Bible for breakfast? And
great.
I said, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And that is one of the ways, that's one of the strategies that we need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I taught my kids the word, and we would do things together with the word. But every season's different. So you don't look at somebody else's life and do a cookie cutter, but what's God saying to you about how you can get the word in your life every day? You need it.
I hate to cut into our program, but we are out of time for today. You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and the interview you just heard was from the retail show floor of ICRS in Atlanta, Georgia, from just a few months ago. If you'd like more information about our guest today or the Ministry of Family Talk, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for the conclusion of today's broadcast, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson with Family Talk, and I have a very special offer for all of you who are listening today. You know, there's no higher calling as a Christian mom or dad than to teach children the gospel, the good news, and to provide spiritual training within the home. That's the most important task. But unless parents get serious about leading their families in godliness, they could, and in some cases are likely to, grow up without a strong faith, the faith of the generations that preceded them. And that's why I want to equip you with the sound teaching and practical wisdom that you need to raise a family of disciples for Christ. in a brand new collection of 8 DVDs titled Building a Family Legacy. I tackle common parenting questions and offer advice and encouragement based on the firm foundation of biblical principles. The Building a Family Legacy 8 DVD series is my gift to you to say thank you for your suggested donation of $50 or more. Now, I will accept no royalty or any portion of this donation. Every dollar will go to help support Family Talk, and we could use your assistance at this time. So I pray that this resource will be a great blessing to you and the children God has placed in your life. Request your copy by visiting drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. And thank you for your continued support and for listening to Family Talk.